Amen. It's a joy being with you today. Really been looking forward to being here. My wife and I very thankful to be one of your missionaries here at Island Ford. We're very honored about that, and I don't take it lightly. We greatly appreciate this church and the kindness of each member, always happy, and I don't know if you fake it or not, but you're always happy and make us feel welcome, and we appreciate that. We, Lord willing, to be over there in England in March. That'll be 2 years we've been on deputation, and we're looking forward to getting over there. We, as most of you know, we took a church over there that had been without a pastor for a little over three years now, and they've been praying and asking for God to send somebody, and there's four different men in the church that swap out the teaching. None of them called to preach or anything. They just don't want the church to die. They want something over there. England has 56 million people over there, about the same size as Alabama. Alabama has 5 million people. England has 56 million people. There's not a lot going on over there. If you pay attention to the news over there, they're locking up people for speaking anything against the government and all the Islam marches going on in the cities everywhere across the country right now. And if you say anything against that stuff, they're locking you up. And I mean, I think my wife told me last week it's over 1,000 they've already locked up here just in the last few months here. And so I'm not sure the Lord wants me going over there, really. I'm changing my mind. I'm only kidding. Brother Eric Vick said if I get in jail, he's coming to bail me out personally. So amen. I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Yeah. So they sent me a text. We have services on Wednesdays through Zoom. I don't really call it church or whatever. I mean, I believe in joining together, but we do what we can while we're here right now. And so we have services on Wednesday. But on Sunday, they do the services, and Brother Wolf there in the church, he sent me a text last week, this past Monday, and we had 34. This past Sunday, we had 34 in church. And the three previous Sundays, we've had 30 every service. And we had a new visitor today, Sunday. He's from Ireland, and we've had three Iranian men that have been coming to church there as well. We've got seven different nations that have been coming to church. Some of them are members, some of them are visitors. Lord willing, we're going to fly over there. We're flying over there. We've got our tickets. We're flying over there next month, and we're going to officially join the church over there, and so we can start putting our tithe over there and everything. And they also will be celebrating their 12 years of anniversary, and we'll be there with them. And then we've got a couple of folks right now that have been saved, but they haven't been baptized. So, Lord willing, we're going to baptize them when we get over there in September. So we're excited about that. Amen. So if the Lord puts it on your heart, we'd love for you to come over and visit with us. You don't have to call me. If God puts it on your heart, you pick the phone up and say, hey, we're going to be over there in June. November, you come on. We'd love for you to have you, and I mean that with all my heart. You come help us pass some tracts out, and if you're a preacher and Brother Shepherd would sign off on you, you can preach for me, amen. And then you go look at a bunch of old stuff, amen, because England's got some old stuff over there, amen. So anyway, I pray the Lord to help me be a blessing to you today. You know, we're living in difficult times. You all know that Jesus is coming back. We say that, and I believe that with all my heart, the Lord's coming back. I don't know exactly when that is, like you don't know when it is. And I have said, of course, I'm pre-trib, but I have said this, if Kamala Harris gets elected, I'm changing from pre-trib to mid-trib, amen. I'm praying for pre-trib, but I'm preparing for mid-trib. Amen. Amen, amen. All right, let's look at the book of 1 Peter today. This is where I want to be at today. This is what the Lord's put in my heart, and it's been on my heart before on the way here. This is just the text that God put on my heart. I didn't know if I was going to have the honor to preach today. I do count it a great honor to preach. I know there's so many different men of God today, and I don't take it lightly, and I pray the Lord will make me a blessing today and be an encouragement to you today and a help to you, and that's my desire. So 1 Peter today, chapter 1. Peter chapter 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And all of these places were in Asia Minor, by the way, which is modern-day Turkey. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Father, we want to thank you for the privilege to be gathered together this morning, Lord. We pray that you would arrest our attentions, Lord, now. We pray that the Holy Ghost would, Lord, have full charge of the service, Lord. Guide me, hide me, Lord, and help me, I pray. Help me, Lord, be a blessing and encouragement, Lord, not only to every preacher and missionary, Lord, but every member, dear God, that's striving to live for you and serve you, Lord. So bless us and help us to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. So Peter is writing to encourage these believers who are under great trial and persecution. And what gets me about this passage, this passage, when I was reading this a few months ago, when I got down to verse 3, it said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to tell you, that arrested me and gripped my heart. And the reason is that word blessed, there's two different words that in the New Testament that are translated blessed. One is always speaking about men. That's in the Sermon on the Mount right there. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are ye that mourn. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Okay, that word is always talking about the favor of God on your life is what he's talking about. The people that are blessed in that way have the favor of God on them. They've got the hand of God on them. The fingerprints of God is all over their life. Man, I want to be blessed by God like that. I want the favor of God on my life. Amen. It's the most important thing in my life is to have God's fingerprints on my life, ordering my steps according to his word. Amen. But this word is a different word. We get our word eulogy from this word right here. You know what a eulogy is? A eulogy, you think of that whenever there's a funeral. Amen. They'll have somebody laid out here in the front, and people get up and they say good things about that person that's in that coffin right there. I don't know about you. I've been to a few funerals, and I've had to wonder, am I at the right funeral or not? Amen. I mean, is this the same fellow that we're talking about? Amen. Because I don't know anything good about that fellow. Amen. Yeah. I'm just joking about that. But that's what we do. You know, a lot of times, particularly if it's a Christian, we'll call that a celebration. Okay. And that's what that word is talking about right there. He's talking about we ought to bless God. We ought to say some good things about God. We ought to do it with rejoicing and celebration is what he says. And of course, he says that they wherein ye greatly rejoice. These people were greatly rejoicing, he said right there. Now when we give a eulogy, we're giving a eulogy about somebody that's passed on. But we don't have anybody that's passed on. He's talking about giving to God. We're talking about a living God. Amen. We're talking about somebody that's not dead. We're talking about somebody that's alive. Amen. There, I had read a book recently. I read through. I didn't read the whole book, but there's a preacher named Tim Sledge. He was a Southern Baptist preacher, and he had been pastoring for 30 something years, and and pastored a very large church, several large churches, 1,000 to 2,000 people or more, and had written several books encouraging and useful for evangelistic and things like that. But Tim Sledge came to the place all along the way, where he did not believe there was anything supernatural about anything that the Bible talks about. And so Tim Sledge ended up leaving the faith, and he wrote a book called Goodbye Jesus. Does that not put fear in your heart just thinking about that right there? But here's what Tim Sledge said. He said that he didn't understand why there would be, when people would be suffering and going through pain and heartache and all the different things that we face as pastors and church members that happen to our people that they go through. He said, how could there be a God, a personal God? He said he came to the place where he did not believe in a personal God. Now, I want to tell you that since I've been saved, okay, of course I couldn't be saved if there wasn't a personal God, amen. But there has not been a day in my life when I have not known that there is a personal God. Through every trial I've been in, I have never been by myself in every trial. When my heart has been so broken and crushed, I want to tell you, the only person that has been right there that I could feel his touch, sense his presence, and hear his voice is the personal God, God Almighty, amen. And so Peter is writing to them to encourage them to bless God is what he's encouraging them to do. And so that's what I want to preach on today. Blessed be God today. Now, what gets me really about this passage is who he's writing to. I mean, think about who he's writing to when he's telling them to bless God. First of all, they were strangers, he said. They were strangers. And I like the song that Sister said there. You know, we have gotten settled down right here, and we have forgotten, I'm afraid, that we are strangers in this world, amen. We live like this world is our home. There's a lot of people that watch the news and they just get absolutely sunk down. And I'm not saying there's not some things that are concerning about what's going on in society, but I want to tell you, if you believe your Bible, okay, everything is unfolding exactly like the Bible says, amen. We can't get to heaven without going through what the Bible says is going to happen in the end times. This is just the way it is. I'm afraid that a lot of us getting far more upset about the changing of American culture, which is never going back to normal again. Amen. If you think that Trump is going to bring everything back to normal, you have got your eyes on the wrong person. Amen. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to vote for Donald Trump. But let me tell you, I don't have any hope or faith in Donald Trump. Amen. My faith is in Jesus. The job that you and I have got to do, folks, is eternal. Amen. Like the preacher was preaching. I want to tell you, that was a powerful, powerful message last night. The pastor preached. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, God's speaking to me. We cannot forget that we are resident aliens here, okay? We're getting concerned about aliens coming into America. Let me tell you, 30% of the population in England is in what we call an unreached people group. That means 98% of them people never even heard the name Jesus Christ, amen. Like many of these preachers go in these jails, a lot of them hadn't heard the gospel even in America, amen. We got to understand American culture is gone, amen. I'm not interested in saving American culture. I'm interested in getting people going to heaven. If we can't get to them, God is bringing them to us, amen, right? All over the country, amen. Folks, things are going to get worse. You got to understand that. That's what the Bible says. Amen. In the last days, shall be perilous times. Amen. That's the way it is. Amen. Hey, you got to understand, a stranger, a resident alien is temporary residence. Amen. We're moving on. Amen. This world is not my home. Amen. I want to encourage you, folks. Hey, we're just passing through here. Amen. Not only were they strangers, but he said that they were scattered. And that word scattered, anytime you see the word scattered in the New Testament, always is connected to persecution. Every single time, you'll not find that word anywhere where it's not connected to persecution. And the idea of being scattered is like a farmer taking seed out and with all his might just scattering that seed out right there. Just scattered, okay? Now I want you to understand this right here, what's going on. These people didn't have any time to prepare what was going on. When it says they were scattered throughout all of Asia Minor, these people didn't have time to go home and bring and get a U-Haul and back up a rider truck and get all the finances. They didn't have no time whatsoever. There was no time. There was zero time. These people had to make haste. They were post-haste. They had to move on. I want you to understand what that is. And some of these people that were having leads, some of them were young. Some of them had families. Some of them were older and not able to travel as well as some others. Some of them may needed to have a walker or maybe some crutches or something like that. Some of them had some major health issues, okay? I want you to understand how difficult that would be. That's who Peter said, blessed be God, amen. Say something good about God, amen. The idea is something that is completely unprepared for. They had no way to prepare for any of this stuff that was happening to them right there. They were being persecuted. I want to tell you, there's all kind of things that can come in your life completely unprepared for, amen. Your next visit to the doctor could be completely change your life, amen. Something completely unprepared. This is what's going on with these people, and this is who he's saying blessed be God for, amen. Not only that, but they were suffering, he said also, and suffering. Now Peter knew something about suffering. He knew something about suffering for Jesus, amen. He got locked up for preaching in the name of Jesus and beat for preaching in the name of Jesus. He was well acquainted with suffering. These people had present trials. They were scattered. They were in heaviness through manifold temptations. Their faith was being tried, Peter said. Now, this is what it all comes down to right here. Everything that goes on through our life has got to do, what the devil is after is your faith is what he's after. The Bible says that our faith is the victory. This is the victory overcome the world. Even our faith, amen. Our faith, God, the devil wants to get you to the place where you think, well, maybe there's not a God. Maybe God doesn't care about me. Maybe. Let me tell you. He's always after your faith. Always after your faith. He wants to stop you from believing that this book and that God is a keeper of his promises. Man, that stirs me up. Amen. That book right there is true. Amen. I'll tell you, there ain't one word in that holy Bible. Amen. That is not true. Every bit of it's true. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, we got to believe. We can't let the devil get our faith. Amen. I tell people that I'm 56 years old now, and the Lord's called us over to England, and said, man, I ain't got time to doubt anymore, amen. I don't have time to doubt. I don't know how much time I got, but I know this, I ain't got time to doubt, amen. I mean, we gotta believe God, amen. And so, not only were they, but he said that they were suffering wrongly, 2:19. And then Peter told them over in chapter 4, you would think this message would get better as he's progressing on here, but here's what he says in 4:12. He said, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. But in American culture, we don't want things to get worse. You know, we say we're premillennial, but we live like we postmillennial. Amen. We live like everything's just going to keep getting better and better and better, and then Jesus is going to come back. Amen. Folks, that ain't going to happen. Amen. I was just in a church in North Carolina and had some man made the pastor this picture, and it said, normal isn't coming back. Jesus is, amen. Hey, folks, we need to wake up, amen. Blessed be God, amen. And no matter what you're going through, amen, he's telling these people, blessed be God, amen. Now, not only were they suffering, but here's another thing. He said they were sighing. He said they were in heaviness through manifold temptation, in heaviness. And the idea of that is weighted down where you just sigh. You ever been there before? I mean, has your wife ever told you? My wife's told me this numerous times. She'll say, why are you sighing about? I didn't even know I was sighing. You know what sighing is. And you just walk around like the weight of the world on your shoulders. And I'm just telling you, hey, why is that? Because you know why? Because the devil's after you, preacher. The devil's after you, missionary. The devil's after you, church member, okay? You scotching up the preacher. You're faithful. You think, man, I ain't doing nothing. Every time you come to church and you sit in your spot, you doing something for the preacher. I can guarantee that right now. Every time you show up and give that preacher a smile, amen, and just thank him for the word that he's been preaching and is faithful. You are helping that preacher, amen. Don't you think you ain't doing nothing because you ain't in the pulpit, amen. I mean, the pulpit wouldn't mean anything if it wasn't for what you do, amen. And so these people were in sign. They were just absolutely weighted down. Hey, church, people, I want you to understand, you got to be careful about how you observe what's going on in this world, amen. You can't take it personally, amen. This is the way it's going to unfold because the book we believe says that's what's going to happen, amen. And so we've got to just keep on looking to Jesus, amen. Amen. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to the saved. Amen. That's what he says. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. Let me just give you a couple things real quickly why we ought to be able to bless God for today. Number one, we ought to bless God for the undying expectation that we have. And that's what Peter says right there. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know that word up there, he uses that word elect up there in verse 2, okay? Now I know a lot of King James Bible believers would love to have that word elect taken out of the New Testament. Amen. I mean, it's particularly in our day and time, but particularly when we got so many independent Baptists going Calvinist, amen. Calvinism has killed England, amen. I mean, God's not in a box. He used many Calvinist preachers, amen. He did because God's not in our little box, amen. But he didn't use them because they were Calvinists. He used them because they were gospel preachers, amen. They preached the gospel. They might have believed Calvinism, but they didn't practice it, amen. They were passing out the gospel message like Charles Spurgeon, man, mighty man. I've heard people say, man, he changed his mind by the time he died. No, he didn't. You ain't read much after Spurgeon. He died a Calvinist, believing everybody. But he was spreading the gospel all that he believed in the power. He believed that he didn't know who the elect was, that only God, that would be manifested by the gospel. But let me tell you here, the word elect is a Bible word. What does that word mean? It means chosen. Hey, I thank God for election. I thank the Lord that God has elected me. That means that he saved me on purpose according to his plan. Amen. You see, before the foundation of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, and isn't interested in our salvation. We see all three of them mentioned right there in verse 2, the Father. And then he says, through sanctification of the Spirit. Not through our sanctification, it's the sanctification of the Spirit. The setting aside of the Holy Ghost comes, and he begins to work on a sinner, amen. And he begins to draw him from the crowd, amen. That's what that word sanctification means anyway, to be put out and set aside and called for a purpose, amen. I mean, a lot of people seem like they've been elected to salvation, but they have no election to service. The word election is never disconnected from service, amen. I want to tell you right here that the Holy Ghost, he works, he draws, and he woos that sinner, and he works on him, amen. And then there's Jesus Christ, amen. He says, in the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Election has all to do with the blood. Who did Jesus Christ shed his blood for? Very easy. All the world, amen. He died, he tasted death for every man. Well, who can be elect? Anybody, as he says there in verse 3, who is being begotten. Now, begotten is the past tense of ye must be born again, amen. Anybody that gets born again is elect, amen. Wonderful, amen, amen. According to God's plan, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, amen. Man, I thank God, folks, I'm saved, amen. I'm going to heaven, amen, one day. Isn't that wonderful? Man, and then he said, he based it on this, a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do you, now, if I just had one thing how I know I'm saved, it is this, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no gospel, amen. We don't have any word, amen. Let me ask you this right here. If I were to ask you, is 2 plus 2 4? Everybody in here would say yes. Now, if we ask some of them people in Washington, you know, they would debate about that right now, okay? Because of everything changing, you know, a rabbit jumped out of there. I was about to take him. Let me tell you this right here. More than you were not, you and I were not there when Jesus died. Right. You and I were not there when he was buried, and you and I were not there when he resurrected.
Right.
But I'm telling you today, you know as well as I do, you know it more. I mean, you know it more than you know 2 + 2 = 4. You know inside your heart, Jesus is resurrected. You're 100%. How do you know that? You can't tell me how you know that. You know it down in here. I can't tell you how I know, but I know when I bow my knees and pray, I know I'm praying before the throne of grace, and I know that Jesus Christ, the one who's got the nail scars in his hand in the riven side, I know that I'm praying to him. Amen. I was down at Camp Zion a few months back. I went down there to spend some time in prayer, and I got down there. I told my wife, I got to get to God. I've been on deputation for a while, man. It's about killing me, amen. that's a young man's job, amen. Hey, I said, I felt so drying up, amen. I said, God, I got to have a touch of God on my life. I want God on my life. I told my wife, I'm going to Camp Zion to pray. I ain't been down there in a long, long time. And I called up the preacher down there and said, hey, can I come by and stay for a week and spend some time prayer? Of course, come on. And so he started showing me all the different, he go into old tabernacle down there and stuff and all the different places. My favorite place was the old church building that they first had. I think it was built in 1939 or something like that. And I got down there and prayed. God would just meet with me. And I looked and that old platform was just wore down from all them years of preaching. Preaching and preachers walking up and down and people kneeling down there and praying and everything. I mean, it's just wore down. And I got down there and I said, God, you have answered thousands of prayers in this church. And I'm telling you, when I said that, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God come by and said, yes, son, that's true. He said, but you are kneeling not just here. You are kneeling at the throne of grace where I have answered millions of prayers. Amen. I want you to understand, people, when you pray, you are praying to the resurrected living God, amen, that is actively involved every single day with your life and the purpose of preaching the gospel, amen. He's involved, amen. We have an undying expectation. I can bless his name no matter what I'm going through, amen. 2, we have an uncanceled reservation. I'm going to hurry up here. He says there to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. And it's interesting, isn't it, that the Lord that Peter has to use negatives to describe this inheritance, okay? Because there's nothing comparable on earth to describe it to, amen. So he has to use negatives. But then he says, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you know something about a reservation, amen. A reservation is for people that are important, amen. I mean, it is. If you rope off something, pastor said, well, I've got this roped off because we've got a youth group coming up, and they are our special visitors, amen. They're our special guests, amen, and they're important to what we've got going on here. Or maybe some family comes in or preacher or whatever, you know, whatever, and it's for important people, okay? I want you to know, no matter what the world treats you like or other preachers, amen, you are important, amen, amen. Me and my wife, we was in a church in Georgia a while back, and we sat in there, and not one person came and welcomed us to the church. Now, not just because we're somebody. We ain't nobody. I mean, but here's the deal. Everybody walks through that door. There ought to be church members hitting them people, amen. I mean, I want to tell you, one of the marks of where the Holy Ghost is moving is friendliness, amen. And if you ain't, when I walked in the church the day I got saved, I didn't know anything about a Baptist church. I didn't know anybody in that church I got saved in. I just knew I was going to die and go to hell. And I walked in the back door of that Baptist church right down the road from my house. Never seen it before, but knew I was going to hell. Thought I'd be in hell for a minute. Now, I walked in that back door, and there was a lady that sent me to that met me at the back door, hugged me and said, we're so glad you're here today. Introduced me to everybody in the church and then said, you sit with me tonight. And that's what we ought to do to visitors. Amen. I'm glad you, because we've been a prayer for you. Amen. Hey, I'm just trying to tell you that this thing about a reservation is for important people. And you are important in the eyes of God. Amen. I know the world once makes you feel like you ain't important, but you are somebody. in the eyes of God. Amen. But not only is a reservation for important people, but when you have a something reserved, there's an expectation. Amen. There's an expectation. And let me tell you, they are expecting us in heaven. Amen. We have a spot. Amen. I got a spot, Brother Bell, with my name on it. Ain't nobody else going to get that spot. Amen. It is mine. It is roped off for me. And God is expecting me. I don't know how it's going to be when we pass on and die, but I believe that all the angels are going to stand about and they're going to sit back and say, so this is the redeemed. Amen. And of course they are ministering spirits also. Amen to us. Amen. I know some of our angels are better than some of the others of y'all's angels. Amen. Some of them are off duty sometime, it seemed like. Y'all got to help me out now. I'm the first preacher of the morning. You got to help me out. Amen. I'm trying to make it where the preacher come following can't say, well, it all went all downhill after Brother Comstock now, because he started off so wrong. Hey, folks, you got an uncancelable reservation. I can bless God for that. I don't know what's going to happen in America, but I know one thing. I got a place in heaven, amen. I'm guaranteed they're expecting me up there. And let me finish with this right here. He said in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. That's a military term, and it means that God is, of course, guarding us, okay? And just for you English people that love the English, that's a present participle. That means it's constantly going on, always, 24-7. It don't matter. That means that's also going on when your heart's cold. It means it's still going on. That means when you're not living like you ought to be living for God, God is still guarding you, amen. That means when you're walking with God, close to God, and the devil's all trying to stop you, that means God is still guarding and protecting you. Amen. There's two things the Bible says that we are garrisoned about. One is the peace of God, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. If you've ever been through a trial or difficulty in your life, you know that that verse is true right there. You don't know how in the world you made it through your situation, but you look back sometimes to say, you look back and say, I don't know how I made it. I don't know how I made it through that right there, but I made it through it. How? Because the peace of God, amen. And then God's power, amen. I thank God for His power. He's watching us. I mean, think about the power of God. You know, with His Word, He created everything. You know, God is not exhausted watching out for you and I, amen. He has no problem watching over you and protecting you and I. We are preserved, the Bible says, amen. Yeah. And so we ought to be rejoicing, and we got something good to say about God. I think that would make a big difference today in our society if the preacher was talking about all those negatives, you know, coming out of the 1, 2, 3, all that type of stuff like that. I hate that junk with a passion, amen. But I want to tell you something else that is discouraging and that hinders us is the sadness that is, it's on our faces so often, amen. And I'm not talking about just, I'm talking about services. I'm talking about when we go out, okay, Mondays and Tuesdays and the rest of the week. Right. I mean, it seems like too often that we will say something negative, but we got a lot to bless God for, amen. Yeah. No matter what's going on in our life, we could change people's lives by just blessing God, amen. Saying something good about God, amen. Just praising Him, amen. With celebration, amen. Father, thank You for the Word today. I preach what You put in my heart. Hope it's been a blessing and encouragement to Your dear people, Lord. I thank You for saving us, Lord. We're unworthy. I thank You for saving us, Lord. And I pray You'd help us, Lord, to live a way that will glorify and honor You, Lord, and lift up Your name. Help us, Lord, not be discouraged, but encouraged, Lord. We're just passing through this world, and we'll praise Your name for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher.